Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our continuing study of the book of Daniel. As we begin our look at chapter 8, we'll cover verses 1 through 14 in this study titled The Vision of the Ram and Goat. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Again, the email address is bbbfohio@yahoo.com. The mailing address is P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 8, verses 1 through 14, titled The Vision of the Ram and Goat. This is part 1 of 2.
Amen. All right, Daniel chapter 8, we're going to jump into verse 1. Daniel 8, verses 1 through 14. And we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We just ask, Lord, you help us focus, to learn, and that we will be able to recall, and as we continue to study the word and read through the Bible, just grow and grow closer to you, grow in our knowledge of the word. And we just thank you and praise you again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've got to turn something off. There's a loud buzzing noise, and it's not a mosquito or a fly. There we go. All right, we're in beginning our study. We're going to do 2 weeks, two studies on Daniel chapter 8, verses 1 through 14. I apologize if my voice is a little off. It's been rough on me in the last few weeks, but I use the inhaler, and it makes me breathe really well, but it makes it a little harder for me to project for some reason. So anyway, that's a picture, vision of the ram and goat. And we'll talk more about that as we go on. But we're now going to go back to the time prior to the fall of Babylon. You remember we talked about the fall of Belshazzar? You've been weighing the balance and found wanting. Remember that? The handwriting on the wall. Well, this is actually going to go back a little before that. When he gets this vision, Belshazzar is still ruling in Babylon. So let's just jump right in. Verse 1, read that with me. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. So we start off, it's very clear that this is Daniel receiving a vision, and he's receiving it at the time that Belshazzar is still king. And chapter 7 that we studied a few weeks ago, took a little break for the holidays. Chapter 7 and the vision of the four beasts and four kingdoms, you may recall, were what appeared unto me at the first. And so in addition to that vision, we have this one. And our interpretation isn't guesswork, but given to us later in this chapter by the angel Gabriel. Now, we're not going to get into that until the next study. But I'm going to tell you some things, and I'm going to identify who the ram and the goat are. And you'll then have that confirmed if you read the rest of Daniel or if you come back next week. Either way. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes we think we know things and we may be wrong. We're fallible. But when the Bible interprets it for you, you're in good. Jenny's already jumped ahead and reading. Anyway, read verse 2 with me. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Now, Shushan is also known as Susa. You'll find on some maps and references in Elam, which is a Persian province in modern Iran. How many of you know when you read about Persia in the Bible, you're reading about that country that's on the news right now with all the freedom fighters and the student protests and President Trump, unlike Barack Obama, who really didn't support the student protest years ago, and a bunch of them got killed, our president this time around is saying, go get them. And, I don't get excited about the idea that the next Iranian government would be much better, but it couldn't be any worse. And they're so anti-Israel, and they're basically the state sponsors of Hezbollah and Hamas and some of these terrorist groups. So when you watch the news, you see Iran, that's Persia in your Bible. Now, this is before Cyrus shows up. And when Daniel sees this vision, I think I made a note of it. Remember, I'm going to jump ahead. I think I mentioned this, but he's not in Shushan physically. See, we've started the vision. And on the map, you can see where Susa is, Shushan. And it's to the east of Babylon, so it's the far east from Jerusalem. Just so you know, I don't know how many of you are familiar with your maps. Got a couple of real nice ones back there you can study. Jerusalem is west of Babylon. And it's actually 732 miles west. And Daniel is in Shushan in the vision, but not physically. Just keep that in mind. And so we step into verse 3. Read that with me. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the other came up, and the higher came up last. I messed that up. And the higher came up last. And there are a few ideas. You'll see artistic renderings about what this would look like, but it was probably something like this. That's what it means when the horns come up high, but one was higher than the other. And you'll see that in rams. You watch enough nature programs about rams, it's not unheard of. But it does symbolize something. But Gabriel says that this ram is Medo-Persia. As I said, in our next study, we'll read it more in more detail. But this is what Gabriel says. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. Doesn't get much better than that, having Gabriel tell you what something means in the Bible. And so we know that's a fact. And it's just interesting historically that according to the 4th century Roman historian Marcellinus, all accounts show that Persian kings took off their crowns and wore a ram's head when leading their armies into battle. Now, ain't that a coincidence? Wow. He said, she's Albanian, and he's talking about the Albanian leader, her uncle, wore a ram's head. It'd be interesting to know where a lot of times they share the ideas. They get them from one to another. You might have got the idea from the Persians. Who knows? I mean, you do enough study, you find that stuff out. So it said the higher horn came up last, and that's referring to Cyrus the Great. And Cyrus solidified the Medo-Persians, and his rule was much more effective than Darius had been. So you see Darius, and then you see Cyrus. That's why the horn that came up was higher. So verse 4 says, then I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And so, and no matter what direction he took, he conquered. And that's what we know about Cyrus as we look in history. And there's a map that shows the area that Cyrus controlled In the world of that day, that was what you call a world empire. And that's pretty impressive. And so this was Cyrus, but then after Cyrus, Persia begins to decline, and then up comes another character. Verse 5. Read that with me. "And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." Now, some of you are going to like this. He was a unicorn. Now, the reason I say that is because you get these wild comments about the Bible and say, "We know unicorns never existed. That's just something on cartoons." No. Throughout history, there have been animals referred to as unicorns. Now, we know some of them are like, there's a deer, a form of a deer. There's a, I don't think it's the gazelle, but there's a form of deer that, not all of them, but a lot of this one particular type of deer has a single horn. That people have referred to rhinoceroses and other animals. And they may be a bit of a freak of nature when it happens sometimes, but when people have seen these animals, they've called them unicorns. And so there's what he saw. He saw a notable horned he-goat. And, you know, maybe I chose the wrong picture because he's supposed to be a tough one. He's a tough guy. And I heard two or three of you go, "Aww." Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, he might be cute, but if he jams you with that horn, you ain't going to be going, "Aww." Yeah. Well, we know Gabriel tells us that I didn't. That's not Medo-Persia. That's Greece. He says in verse 21, "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." And first meaning the first king to conquer, which was who we know to be Alexander the Great. And how many of you ever done any reading on Alexander the Great? Well, Charlie and I have a little background on it. But I'm not going to go into a lot of details about Alexander. You can do that on your own. I don't recommend you get it from Hollywood, but there are some interesting books and accounts out there. But Alexander was about 20 years old when he started his conquering. And by the age of 33, he had basically conquered the world. But by the age of 33, it also, because he basically became depressed because he'd conquered all the kingdoms to be conquered. And he became a drunk, and he died from alcohol. And when he died, he didn't have an heir, and so he's laying on his deathbed, and they said, "Well, who do we bequeath your kingdom to?" Because they knew he's dying. And he says, "You give it to the strong." And he died. So what do you think happened? And so the kingdom, well, verse 6, we'll see what it says here. "And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power." So here's Alexander destroying the Medo-Persians and taking the territory. And verse 7 says, "And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with color, C-H-O-L-E-R. That's like anger and wrath. "He was moved with color against him and smote the ram and brake his two horns." And that's something, two horns, Medo-Persia. "And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him." And that's a pretty good visual of how Alexander conquered. "And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand." And so verse 8 then introduces us to what happened when Alexander died. Read verse 8 with me. "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So the four notable ones were also referred to in Daniel 7:6. So when Alexander died, he said, give it to the strong. And it was basically, there was really five, but the Bible specifies the four notable ones. And verse 6 of chapter 7 told us, and after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Four heads, four notable ones, and that's what happened in history. The great horn, Alexander, died at age 33, a drunkard. The four notable ones were a man named Cassandra, which is normally a girl's name these days, Cassie. And he took Greece and Macedonia. And then Lysimachus, write that one down, those of you who may be potentially naming children in the future. We could call him, what would you call him for short? Marcus? And by the way, he took Asia Minor, which is basically modern Turkey in that area. Seleucus, he took from Syria to India into Israel. And then there was Ptolemy, who took northeast Africa all the way up to Israel. And Seleucus and Ptolemy had some issues there because of Israel. And there's what it looked like on the map. Seleucus took probably the larger amount of territory. But it wasn't as, once you got beyond Babylon, it wasn't as wealthy as the areas that the other three took. And so that's what happened. Because of the death of Alexander, that's what happened in the world. You know, we take this for granted. We read this stuff. We had a civil war here, and that kind of turned things upside down for about 5 years. But we have not experienced in our lifetimes, none of us have experienced this kind of thing. Where, can you imagine, you know, talking about it? Yeah, I remember when California was part of our country, but then that, you know, Putin came over and took it, you know, and then. And what's going on at the border of Michigan? I heard we took Ottawa. You know, you don't hear that stuff. Now, there are some groups in Mexico who want California, and some of us would like to give them part of it. But, you know, even the world wars, they didn't touch the mainland. And Hawaii got hit in Pearl Harbor, but that was it. And the United States of America is one of those countries in history that is really a strange phenomenon. And I believe that I'm praying that it's after the rapture, but I believe after the rapture, that's going to change. How many of you saw Red Dawn? The original. Yeah. The second one wasn't too bad, to be honest with you, but I still like the original. Yeah. And that gives you an idea, and you say, well, that would never happen now. You know what? Every nation said that. Every nation thought that. And the one thing that plays a big role, I think, in the United States' future is nuclear electromagnetic pulse bombs that would turn us back into the 19th century, where all your smartphones would be good for nothing but doorstops. And most of the cars wouldn't run. And most everything would shut down. Everything's computerized. It'd fry the chips in all the computers. I do not want to be here for that. Do not. But, hey, I want to just tell you this. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. It could happen. That's why I tell everybody, get your guns and ammo and have some water and some food supplies. We're not worried about living through the tribulation period, but that doesn't mean we're not going to suffer a great depression or some kind of upheaval in this country at some point. And that's just your positive thought for the day. Verse 9, now it gets interesting. It says, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. Now, I know it's hard for people to accept this, but I believe this is about something that happened back then and something that's about to happen. And you'll see why in just a minute. I believe this, we call it a dual prophecy. And folks, you get this if you're going to understand your Bible. There are times where Isaiah 7:14, that was a prophecy that was applicable to Isaiah's day and to Jesus Christ being born. Dual prophecies. The little horn is Antiochus the IV Epiphanes. And that happened during the time of the folks, you ever heard of the Maccabees? He, though, is a type of the coming Antichrist. So as you read what we're about to read in the rest of our study here tonight, it's Scripture that is about a man who lived during that time, who came after Alexander's four notable ones and came out of one of those. But he is a type of the Antichrist. And some of you have studied enough that when you hear certain things about in Bible prophecy about someone who's going to do this or do that, you'll recognize, hey, that's what the Antichrist is going to do. And so it's not just guesswork again, because we're going to show you that it's confirmed Scripture with Scripture. So the Jews, this is kind of funny, the Jews referred to Antiochus the IV, Epiphanes, as Antiochus Epimenes, because that meant the madman. Huh? Kinda, yeah. Main point is to get that it's an insult. You know, God's people respect those who deserve respect. But whenever someone like Antiochus Epiphanes, when he came along, they had no problem having a little fun at their expense. And that's why I have felt... I had some Christians say, well, shame on you. You shouldn't have talked about the president like that. I talked about Barack insane Obama. Yeah. If Barack Obama wouldn't have supported the killing of unborn babies and supported sodomites and gay marriage, and if he had not been a socialist who tried to take over a huge portion of our economy and turn it into a Marxist healthcare system, and if he had not helped Iran and held back our dealings with Hezbollah, and on it goes, then I wouldn't have said that he was Barack insane Obama. But I said that because he doesn't deserve respect. The presidency deserves respect. Not every president does. And you want precedent, go into the Bible, and you'll see John the Baptist looking at Herod and rebuking him for being with his brother's wife. And you see Jesus refer to Herod as that fox, which is a way of saying he was Herod insane Obama. You call somebody a fox, crazy like a fox. That's what Jesus was saying. So anyway, this has good history about it. Now that term that we read, the pleasant land, in the Bible is always a reference to New York City. Israel. Now, we don't have time to run all the references, but Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes routed Israel, and he defiled the temple, just like the Antichrist will. See? That's just where we're going to start with it. The pleasant land of Israel is mentioned in Psalm 106:24, Jeremiah 3:19, here in Daniel 8:9, and also Zechariah 7:14. Now, if you want to, you can take a picture of that real quick before I move on, if you want to run the references. Those are the four references in the Scripture to the pleasant land, and they're the only four, and all four refer to Israel. There's something about that land. Amen? And that's why it's called the pleasant land. Without the flash. You guys and your flashes, man. You're killing me. Yeah, if you don't use a flash, that ought to show up pretty good on your camera. Yeah. And you probably won't get my face in there, which is even better. What, did you say I broke it? Oh, amen. So just one reference we're going to look at. And Zechariah directly refers to the very captivity that Daniel was living through when he says in Zechariah 7:14, "But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations, among all the nations, whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate." And you'll constantly see that referred to. So you know that's why we're talking about Israel back here in Daniel chapter 8, verse 9. Now verse 10, read that with me. "And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon him." Now this is the kind of thing where, I mean, if you got a guy just teaching like this, and all he does is just talk like this, this stuff is so awesome that it still ought to make you feel Pentecostal. Because look what it says. "It waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host." Any of you getting a little bit of a connection? The wires connecting upstairs? It's an amazing prophecy repeated in Revelation 12. Keep your finger here and let's go to Revelation 12. Let's see, I got verses 3 and 4. Revelation 12, we studied this many moons ago. In Revelation 12, you know, I think I preached a few years ago, Revelation 12 is a Christmas message. Because it's about the verse 2, "And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." It's about Israel bringing forth the Messiah. Then in verse 3, remember what we read in Daniel? Verse 3 in Revelation 12 says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven," just like Daniel. "And behold, a great red dragon." That's who the Antichrist is possessed by at this point. So we're talking about the great red dragon, but he possesses the Antichrist. And look what it says. This is why we know it's talking about the red dragon possessing the Antichrist, because it says he had seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. That's a direct reference to the Antichrist. Now verse 4. What did we read back here in verse 10? It says, "And he cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground." And we know he's not talking about those big gas balls out there. He's talking about stars. The Bible refers to angels as stars.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.